I was just thinking the last day that if you ever told people, like, people who didn't know about the podcast about this, but didn't mention the podcast, how dodgy it would sound. Because you'd be like, oh yeah, once a week I go to Dylan's bedroom and he has a camera and we like just fool around for about an hour.
Yeah.
And he puts it up online.
If you make it really vague, for sure it can sound dodgy.
He has a camera and we fool around for an hour.
We normally do fool around for a little bit before we do the podcast.
Oh yeah, no, of course, but I'm saying, like, you call just doing the podcast fooling around also, like, just, you know, messing around, telling some jokes, and then he puts up online.
Yeah.
People watch it from all across the world, mainly America. But yeah, guys, I know what you're thinking, we had to address it, it's been a fucking minute
it's
and a half.
It's been the longest stretch ever.
Maybe ever, I'd say in a while, yeah.
I think it's definitely the longest we've gone.
I would say so, it feels so. Like ages, yeah.
How long, a month?
You look like a different man to me. The last episode that we put up was the 8th of February, so when we recorded it, it must have been like the beginning of February.
So on average, we've done
one a week or one every second week.
One episode a month this year.
Yeah, I know. I promise we're going
to
get better.
Get
it's just
to it.
Yeah. It's just been going down. I mean, it was totally by unfortunate coincidence. I went
I
to Ireland.
Happened to get molested by his uncle. He can't. Obviously, it's an unfortunate circumstance. It's not like we could do anything about it. He didn't know his uncle was going to touch him, but you know, does your uncle listen to the podcast?
I have six, so
okay.
So I doubt all six of them do.
The one that you're least close with.
Yes. The one who lives nowhere near me. He came all the way down just to give me a very friendly hello.
Just to give you a little finger.
I mean, I have six uncles and I would be amazed if any of them listened to the podcast, to be totally honest with you. I think we're in the clear.
Six uncles, wow.
So yeah, my mom has four.
That's a big family.
Yeah, my mom has four brothers, my dad has two. Yeah. There you go, that's an Irish family for you. Yeah, it's funny, my dad's a family of five and my mom's a family of six, which like in the 70s was very, very common.
Yeah.
It's weird to go from that to me basically being a family of one, you know?
And
they got rid of that old school, like, we have big families every time we get married thing very quickly.
I think as well, like, we're getting to an age now where unless people are like
genuinely in love,
unless people are like, usually it's more religious people have more family values, I would say. So like,
yeah,
you notice that the more religious people are, the more like set they are on having kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're getting to a weird epidemic of young people. I don't think it's an epidemic. I think it might be in like places like Japan and stuff. But
yeah,
we're definitely seeing like a lot of people I know are like, I don't want kids.
I never want kids. Yeah. No, I mean,
like,
either.
So, and
I'm not against that changing potentially.
Yeah,
but
I've been told that. Oh,
I don't
see
it
when you're older. But it's like I'm 24.
But I feel
what
I feel
age is it that I've realized.
I feel like when you were a teenager saying that, people were saying, "Oh, when you're in your 20s." You'll start to get fraternal. And now that I'm in my 20s, people are saying, oh, what, like, I'm in your 30s, though.
And then
when I'm 30, like, when you're in your 50s, man, trust me.
But I'm very lucky to be with someone that also doesn't want kids.
Ah, fantastic.
So it's
I'm very lucky to be with no one.
Well, then you won't have kids. So, you know, you've won in some sense.
Yeah, that's the one thing that can be reassuring about not having had sex in a while. It's like, well, the last person I had sex with, If I had gotten them pregnant, they'd be pregnant by now.
You'd know.
Yeah.
You'd see a little.
Yeah, exactly. That's the one little piece of solace from being celibate. Which I am.
Oh.
Not intentionally.
Perfect.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. But yeah, guys, welcome back. I'm delighted to be back to the Lynn Sebastian Evan Simpsons podcast. The podcast of myself and Sebastian are still renovating.
Still renovating?
Yeah, I always say things related to the episode.
Oh, of course. Well, we do need to renovate a little background.
It would be nice to get something, yeah. No, I agree. We should get a background eventually, that's for sure. On Tuesdays of Stories, Mark Norman's podcast, like, that's with Joe Liz, they have, like, this poster of their faces in the background. But it's, like, really shit, it's always, like, falling and stuff. And it's a successful podcast.
Though, yeah.
It is funny, yeah. It has a little, like, kind of thing to it, but it's like a super successful podcast. They have 8,000 patrons on Patreon. It's like, you could get a better poster.
How much is a monthly Patreon?
I think the cheapest is $5.
So
they're making at least 40,000.
Yeah, guaranteed at least.
Yeah, and there's like a shitty poster that they won't replace. Something's in the middle of the podcast, it'll just like fall on top of it. I'm like, ah, fuck. But I kind of like that.
I like that.
Yeah, they're doing it on purpose for sure. But Yeah, delighted to be back. Let's jump in. I do wish we were coming back on a better episode, but that is what happens sometimes. You seem to disagree with me. You liked it?
Well, we'll find out.
Yeah.
Don't mind.
Today we are reviewing McMansion and Wife, the third episode of the 35th season. At the very beginning, we have like a little title scroll of Agnes Skinner as a pterodactyl just flying across the screen. That's actually a reference to a Treehouse of Horror from a couple of seasons ago, like a Jurassic Park parody where all the old people turn to dinosaurs. Pretty fun one.
I know there was a few Homer referenced in this episode as well. It was pretty blatant about the strangling as well.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, we'll address that soon. But yeah, this episode is the one that mentions the big controversy that pissed a lot of people off a few weeks ago.
And they tackled
it
in a good way, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll discuss when we get to that scene. Yeah, it's pretty soon. But yeah, we opened up on a super long couch gag first. I did think it was pretty great. Homer's at the power plant. Marge mentions his dinner at 7, followed by snuggling at 8, followed by pizza at 9:05, which sounds like a fantastic evening. He gets a nice car to pick him up. It's like a car commercial almost. The car picks him up and hits Lenny, and then he gets hit by a helicopter. He's like, "What are the odds?" And Homer takes a button that says, "Make me look cool," and it turns the car red and gives him sunglasses and a wig. On his journey home, his car milks a goat to give him some fresh milk, and a plane comes around to fill him up with fuel, and he nearly hits Dick Van Dyke in Che Che Bang Bang on the journey over. And I looked it up, that really was Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah.
For a super random, super quick cameo. Yeah, that was funny. He then gets home, the garage door won't open, the marriage says there's no food left, and the dog got sprayed by a skunk. And he wakes up at the plant, and we see it was all a dream. And he's like, "Oh, stupid imagination." I love that his dream ended so tragically. The garage door not opening, and the dog being...
Yeah, ended in a very Homer way.
Yeah, for sure.
But I thought it was great. I loved this.
It was good fun. Yeah, totally.
We haven't seen a proper... Like, even though they're not really doing the couch gag properly now...
Yeah, because he's just... The only way of really making a couch gag is he does end up on the couch at the end. Yeah.
But this was cool. Because obviously he did end up on the couch at the end.
Yeah.
But I like this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
it's a creative way to open the episode, because a lot of previous episodes just opened up.
Yeah. So. Or sometimes you might get the quickest, cheapest couch gag. I mean, there's one reason we didn't like where it was just like Scrabble and all the words were messed up and eventually it spelled out couch gag.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Which is like, I love seeing ones like this.
If that was in like the second or third season, you'd be like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Because it's now and you know what they're capable of.
Yeah, it's like, if you're going to do a couch gag, do a fun experimental one like this or just get into the episode, you know. But yeah, this is a fun one. Like, you didn't mind it taking time out of the episode to give us a really cool, like, well-animated segment. But yeah, we jump into the episode then. They're on their way over to a neighbor who's moving next door, that being the house that isn't Flanders' house, obviously. Marge says that they want to meet the new neighbors before they hear from the old neighbors. But Homer says he has plenty of friends here.
"Hey, I have friends in this neighborhood. There's a guy whose lawn I use as a shortcut, the guy whose mailbox crashed into our car, and Mrs. Bad Halloween Candy."
"If my candy is so bad, why you take so much of it?"
Great new character, just the Bad Halloween Candy lady.
Yeah.
That's all there is to her. They meet the new neighbors, who are immediately just not fazed by Bart mooning them. And they say that they're so happy to have left the city and be around real people. See, the real people already in the house is Sea Captain, Krusty, Disco Stew, and the guy who says yes.
Such a random collection of people to end up at that house.
I know, yeah.
But I liked it because, do we know who the other neighbours were?
In Evergreen Terrace. I feel like that is a plot device they could utilize a lot
they
more.
They don't really
They don't do much.
That.
No, I feel like that's something they could utilize a lot more. Like someone new is always moving in there. That's a fun thing to do. So I know Bob lived there once.
They could like actually introduce some permanent neighbors.
That'd be cool. Well. Yeah, have someone totally different from Ned. Like,
it could be the opposite of Ned.
That'd be fascinating. Yeah, like a hard like a Satanist.
Or
just like a hardcore conservative or something. That'd be really cool. But Satchel Bob lived there once. There's that episode, the Conan O'Brien one from seasons and seasons ago, Bart's babysitter.
Oh, yeah.
Her and the mom lived there at one point. But yeah, it's not one they use very much. Yeah, that'd be a cool one to continue to bring back. Marge says that it's been so long since she's made a basket for people moving in. And we see she left a letter on it that says, "Sorry to see you flee." The the husband, Thayer, tells Homer that he runs a sports car dealership, and he gives Homer a card, and Homer just goes, oh, I just had a fantasy about this car, and Dick Van Dyke. What I found interesting, I think that's the first time ever that they've addressed the couch gag in the actual episode. You know what I mean?
True, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I found that very jarring, actually. It was strange, but yeah, funny. He tries to entice Homer into a car, but Marge says they're still paying off her new spatula. He asks for a test drive in front of everyone he went to high school with, and they shake on it, and Thayer comments on Homer's tight grip. And yeah, and then Homer says, see, Marge? Strangling the boy paid off. Just kidding. I don't do that anymore. Times change. So yeah, that is the quote that caused a lot of controversy a few months ago, I guess.
I thought it was fine. I thought it happened in a good way. I didn't mind.
I did feel a little... I don't care.
That's
if,
the thing.
If they genuinely don't bring it back, it's like, whatever. But it, the line did feel a little bit like...
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean, yeah.
I just feel
times
like,
change.
Well, that's the thing is, I feel like they didn't need to really ever address it.
No, if they didn't bring it back, I wouldn't even know. I know I've said this before, but it's just like all the people giving out about it. It's like there is literally hundreds and hundreds of episodes where he strangles Bart. You know what I mean? And you'll continue to go back to the old episodes anyway. So it's like, what do you care if they're not going to have it happen in new episodes?
Mm-hmm.
Even from a writing standpoint, it's like we've done this gag so many times, like do we really need to bring it back? You know, even if you're talking about it being controversial or anything else, like aside from that, it's just like we've done this gag enough. We don't need to do it again.
Yeah.
You know? And the weird thing I found then is, like, after all the controversy, they put up on their Facebook a picture of Homer strangling Bart, and they said Homer Simpson was not available for comment. He was too busy strangling his son. So, it's very... I don't know where they're going with it. It kind of feels like they're kind of being on even sides. I feel like the writers, they're not like that. I feel like if they did find a reason to bring it back in a funny way, they just would.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an interesting quote. It certainly caused a lot of debate, but... Yeah, my general opinion is like you really would not care if they never did it again. Thayer asks Homer if he'd like to play pickleball with him. And he's like, is that like tennis, but you don't have to run? He says, you have to move a little bit, but there's an ice cream parlor nearby. So he's in. And the wife, Anne, suggests a massage to Marge. And Marge says, sure, but I have to warn you, my fingers aren't that strong. I love that line. Just, Marge being such a pushover. Just like, yeah, sure, I'll give you a massage, I guess.
Talking about pickles, do you like pickles?
I like pickles, yeah.
I have a very disgusting eating habit, which you probably hate.
Because
I love pickles.
Yeah, sure. You put them on your butt. You snort them.
I dip pickles in mustard.
Just eat them. I can see that being nice. I haven't tried it, but I can see that being nice.
I love fermented food. I don't know what it is.
No, I get that. They're both like bitter tasting foods, so I can see that they work together. Yeah. But I love pickles and mustard, so.
To be fair, they're both for a burger.
Yeah, totally.
I think people would find it disgusting that I'm just like dipping.
Man, I wouldn't judge. Yeah, that sounds nice. Yeah, that sounds super nice. Do you see that thing that got popular online a while ago where people were trying watermelon with mustard?
Oh, yeah.
But it was like there was no, the reactions was like either one or the other. Some people were just like, oh my god, that really works. Other people were like, no. There was like no in between. Really weird. I just can't imagine it'd be nice. Oh yeah, the Ned arrives. He brings Bibles for new arrivals, and Thayer just goes to Homer, who's that stupid guy? Exactly. We then cut to the beginning of our side story. They're at the assembly in Springfield Elementary, and they're watching a video about bullying, where they say that you could grow up to be Jeff Bezos and wedgie your bullies' egos. A text just comes up in Sarah just saying, it will get better, but you will go bald. Then Nelson just goes,
nobody tries to bully me into not bullying.
Ow! I was just trying to give you a high five,
nerd!
What do you think of that character, actually, Database?
Fine.
I like him. The reason I bring him up is I was watching the commentary for Bart's Comet recently, which is the episode where he makes his first appearance.
Oh, yeah.
And Matt Groening said it's his least favorite character on the show.
Why, though?
I don't know. He says he finds it really annoying. It's funny because Narsing Cartwright voices him, says, like, I love voicing that character. He's so fun, but we don't do him that often because Matt hates him. I just found that really interesting. Yeah, he finds it annoying.
I do find it, like, interesting how many parts of Simpsons Matt Groening doesn't like.
It is weird, yeah, it is weird. Just some weird little things that he'll like just be kind of like nitpicky about. I remember there being a gag recently that, well, not recently, like a recent commentary I listened to, that he hated, and they put it into the episode, and it gosh. Oh, what was it again? Oh, it was freaking... It was the bit in Homer Goes to College where he goes like, I am so smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T. Which I think is great. He's saying that he's smart.
And then he spells it wrong.
He thought it was too stupid. There's just like, you know, this guy has to have some intellect, you know.
But Homer is...
Nah. Yeah. I guess season five, like Homer Goes to College, that's when he like starts to really, really get stupid. So I wouldn't... be surprised if maybe it was like, I do want this guy to have some bit
of... Yeah.
But, I mean, it's so far gone now, and it's like, I wouldn't want him any other way, you know, 100%.
And speaking of bold, like, it is true that, like, a lot of really, really rich people are bold. I guess it's
a funny point.
Stress.
Maybe so, yeah, there's so much going on.
If you want to be a billionaire, unless you're like Elon Musk, you have to kind of accept the fact that you will be bald.
Unless you're Elon Musk, yeah. Yeah, because, Bezos is completely bald. Yeah. Bill Gates, his hairline is incredibly thinning.
Actually, he did all right, Bill Gates.
It's really okay. His hairline is thinning, but I guess that comes with age. Yeah, he's just an old man. Yeah, that's true.
But I guess if you get in there early, get the hair transplant sorted.
And that's the thing, is like you're so fucking wealthy. It's like you can get all those things
Jeff
if you
Bezos
really want
no
to.
Excuse. But I do know... I remember,
but we would know now because he's been bald for so long.
Yeah.
If he suddenly had a full head of hair, no one would
when I was,
think he
I was
grew
looking
it.
At like old videos of Amazon when they first started and when he's quite young.
Yeah.
And he literally has like a bald patch in the back
of his head. Oh, really? Maybe he just had general...
Yeah, bad.
Yeah, yeah, what do you call it? Yeah, receding. Yeah, bad genes, receding hairline, that kind of jazz. I'm really nervous about like what'll happen to me when I get older because my dad's family, who I do seem to have most of the genes of, all have grey heads of hair. My granddad has a grey head of hair. Mom's family, all the men balding.
So it's actually, I don't know if this is true, but I heard that it's meant to be your mum's dad. So your granddad
fuck.
On your mum's side is where you get your hair from.
Ah, fuck my life. Very bald man.
Really? Because I know that my granddad...
cherishes what I can.
He had hair up until he died, but it was very thin. He did start balding young, but not ridiculously young. So I think when I get to like 30, I might start.
You think?
Obviously, losing hair.
That being said, my uncles on my mom's side have told me that by the time they were my age, they were starting to get receding hairlines. Whereas I don't. So
that's good.
You know, yeah,
that's
at least good. That. Yeah, I seem to have most of my dad's genes though. Like if you looked at my dad's family, I look way more like them than I do my mom's family. I'm just hoping I just have those strong genes.
You can always go to Turkey.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, I can always go to Turkey. Yes, 100%. But yeah, Nelson tells the professor that he taught him that adults can be nerds too, and he gives him a wedgie, and the professor goes, I'm telling, we've got the Chalmers. Chalmers is like, too late, also wedgie. Very funny gag. Then Bart tells him that he understands he's struggling too. He wedgies Bart also and hangs him by the fountain and tells everyone to record him in landscape, not vertical. The professor then confesses that his presentation has made bullies worse in every school. We just got the Skinner on the intercom going, students, be warned. Oh, my stamp collecting arm. That was hilarious. I'm surprised that there's never been a gag before about Skinner having a stamp collection. That just makes so much sense.
I also really enjoyed this, like, mad bully spree.
For Nelson. Yeah, it was
literally
fun.
Literally everyone is getting it.
Oh, yeah, everybody. That's how much the documentary pissed them off. And Lisa says she thinks she knows how to help. We then cut back to the main story. Homer's at the ice cream parlor with Thayer. He's totally worn out, and he says that he suspected Homer hadn't played pickleball before when he tried to eat the pickleball. He's like, nothing should be named food that isn't food. Great Homer quote. He says that Thayer says he meets a bunch of phonies in his business, and Homer's like, oh, I hate phonies. At least I pretend to, because I think it's cool. And he asks if he's ready for the ride of his life. And he says that he was born ready, then he lost interest for a very long time, but he's ready now. He struggles to squeeze into Thayer's car, and Thayer assures him that each Lamborghini comes with a tub of fatso grease, and he just immediately like eases in and relaxes into the car. He offers him some Lamborghini wine. One of my favorite bits of the episode. He goes to drink the wine, and Mo appears in a thought bubble.
Don't you be getting no fancy ideas, Homer. You want to suckle booze? You come to Mama Mo.
The car can sense that you're having an unpleasant thought.
Oh no, not fresh air!
then cut to the house later. Homer tells Marge, you can have your Lenny and your Carls, but he found a new friend today. We then get a montage of the four of them, like, driving together. They're chilling in a hot tub. They're playing mini golf. We cut them having dinner together. We cut over to Kirk Van Houten, well, the two Van Houtens, and the Hibberds. And Kirk just goes, oh, why can't we be close like that? Is it because you're a doctor and I'm out of work? And Dr. Hibbert goes, no, it's because we're not even dining together. You just slid your table closer to ours.
He's such a loser.
So pathetic. I love it. So consistently pathetic.
I love how much his wife, like, clearly resents
him. You know, he absolutely hates the ground he walks on. And Kirk just goes, I'll go. Can I have your bread? And Luann's like, Kirk, please. Like, shut up. Grab the butter. That's so good. Like, they're dining for free here. We then go to Homer and Marge waking up at 7 a.m. to drilling. We see that they're tearing the house down, like, doing renovations. The construction workers tell them to keep it down. And Homer goes up to Thayer and says he can't believe a car salesman would lie to him. We then come back to the subplot. Bart's going through the kindergarten to get away from Nelson. And as he goes in, he says that he misses the days where all the days were half and all the milk was chocolate. And the kindergartner's asking for his money. And he said, we can do this the easy way, or we can do this the easy way. That's it, we're kindergartners. And then Lisa comes in, takes him away and says that Nelson won't be bothering him anymore. We see she's made a website where she's posted every embarrassing video of Nelson there is. One of them is his mom berating him for eating her cherry lip balm. And she says that counts as breakfast. There is a video of him helping a wounded hummingbird.
This was so sad.
So sad. And he's like, I may not have a daddy, but now you have a daddy. And we cut to see that the bird only lasted 2 days.
So brutal.
So brutal. I did think it's funny, but I thought it was incredibly out of character for Lisa to do something like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it was actually.
Yeah, because it's also been very well documented that she quite likes Nelson and sees through him being a bully, you know, and, like, knows, like, what that actually means. And I guess he was bullying her brother, but it just didn't feel...
she's seeking out revenge.
Yeah. So usually, if Lisa was seeking out revenge, it would be a much more intellectual thing, whereas this was just, I made a website and put up every embarrassing video of you on Twitter. You know, it didn't feel like Lisa to me. But, yeah, where are we from there? Oh yeah, then Bart requests Nelson's vest and he takes it off. He sees his nipples and he's like, is your shirt just drawn on? He's like, yes. He gives him back the vest. We then cut to Homer going into the car dealership and Thayer stops a $200,000 sale to talk to Homer. Then he hands it over to Gil. And Gil's like, oh, Gil's gonna close. Just need a pen. He can't find a pen. And it's like, oh, who's got a pen? Waiting on that pen. Just need to have a pen. But I used to have a pen, but my wife got it in the divorce. And the guy just goes, no pen, no sale. He leaves. And Gil's like, oh, dang it. I would have been able to pay the rent on my shoes. Again, another consistently, brilliantly pathetic character. So good. I love that gets that as a voice for him, too. Thayer says to Homer that they'll reduce the noise, they'll start renovating later, and while they're renovating, Homer can use the Lambo. He gives him the keys, and Homer's like, oh, my fob. He says the marriage might take convincing, but he says, just take the family for a ride. And Homer's like, but there's no room for the kids. He's like, exactly. Oh, I don't get it. Just such a dummy. Like, what wasn't there to get? We didn't cut to them going to a pier, like Homer and Marge going to a pier in the new Lamborghini, and they start kissing. We pan out with all these teenage couples looking at them in disgust. And Jim just goes, it's worse than you think. They're married to each other. And Shauna's like, if I ever kiss my husband, shoot me. We didn't come back again to the subplot. We see Nelson is no longer under Bart's control as their website... As the website of his embarrassing videos has been taken down with the help of Hubert Wong, and he appears, and Lisa's like, I thought we were buddies. You know, he made a very compelling case when he put my face in the toilet. And then one of my favorite bits is a parody of the "and then he kissed me" bit in Goodfellas. It's Nelson doing It's Ray Liotta's character. It's Nelson doing that, but while everyone's serving him, taking him into the cafeteria, he punches all of them along the way. So good. And then he sits down, and for his entertainment, Willie tries to catch a grease Martin. It's just
this was fucking hilarious.
Hilarious.
the way they animated it as well, perfect. Was so funny.
Because it was so clumsy and just like, it's so frantic.
It's really, really like, It looks like old school comedy. It's yeah, like the way they're animated. It's
totally, so like the Three Stooges or something. Yeah, like
what Nelson's... a random four.
Yeah, really, totally.
Chasing a greased up
version. He's like in his underpants, all greased up. He's struggling to chase him. Yeah, it's so good. I thought it was a fun little parody of the Goodfellas scene as well. Done so well. Yeah, we then cut back to the main plot. We see Thayer's house is practically a castle now, and it's blocking the Simpsons' light. And Homer says the only thing they can do now is sit and mutter, and they put on lawn chairs and start doing that. And then Grandpa joins them. He's like, muttering, eh? Can I join you? I broke my muttering chair. And Homer just says no. We then cut to Lisa and Hubert having a computer off, but then Lisa suddenly realizes that this might look bad on a college application. And Nelson just grabs his phone and goes, Suri, tell me one thing nerds have ever done. And Suri goes, they created me to answer everyone's questions. It's a living hell. We then cut to Nelson and Bart make up for, like, not really any reason. They're just like, ah, let's stop fighting. Which kind of pissed me off. I was just like, ah, let's forgive each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just ended. But this was funny, though. They're, like, seesawing together and they're singing. One of my favorite bits.
Seesaw, Marjorie Dodd, Jack shall have a new master. He shall make but a penny a day, cause he can't move any faster.
Ah, the old seesaw chant. When they're finished, do you want to join me for an up and down?
Get away from me.
I think they're back on the lawn chair, sitting and muttering still, and he puts it out there that fires are easy to blame on Grandpa. And Marge is like, you put everything out there but the trash. He's like, well, maybe you could do the trash. Just putting it out, just don't say it. We got the Lisa and Hubert come over to Marge and Homer. They figure out an answer for their problem, and Hubert realizes that if someone doesn't help her family, Lisa might go off the rails in a really unhealthy way. He tells them that their home sits on a site where Jebediah Springfield found this town.
Mm.
We get a flat. This is a fun little detail.
By the way, this got me thinking about a good idea for an episode.
Oh yeah?
Something like bad happens in Springfield,
mm.
which means Springfield is gonna, like, you know, be wiped out.
Okay.
Like, just in theory, I don't know what this would be.
Yeah, we've seen stuff like this before.
Yeah, and Homer
in the movie.
Who's the science guy?
Professor Frank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He invents a time machine. And Homer uses the time machine to go back to, because it's a deep rooted problem in the founding of Springfield.
Yes.
So he has to travel back to the founding of Springfield in order, and meets Jeremiah and has to, like,
that'd be awesome.
The past, basically.
Yeah, yeah. It's like him
and then
Jeremiah
comes back
teaming
into
up
the future again, and like there can be something, like, it worked, but there can be something wrong with Springfield in,
yeah,
like,
of course,
a silly way.
Yeah,
that
it has
being,
to be
like, permanent. Maybe like the statue has something on it that wasn't there before. And it's,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
stupid,
sure.
I don't know.
Maybe something Homer related.
Yeah.
Like, he's all
or
in
maybe,
a donut.
Yeah, it looks like Homer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it'd be great. Maybe he kills Jebediah Springfield.
Sleeps with his wife.
Maybe he kills Jebediah Springfield. So he has to disguise him and just, like,
yeah,
become Jebediah. That'd be a great episode. That's a really good idea.
Copyright, hit me up for the episode.
Yeah, and me as well, just because I came up with the thing of, like, Homer.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I had to be part of this also. Include me. But yeah, no, that's an awesome idea.
That would be a good season ending episode.
That'd be a fantastic finale. Yeah, totally. That's a really, really cool idea. Kind of an obvious idea too. Just in, like, surprising, 35 years in, they didn't think of doing something like that. Like
the last ever episode of The Simpsons.
Could be.
No.
It's an interesting plot to be the last episode, because it's like the founding of Springfield.
Yeah,
you know,
you'd think a last ever Simpsons episode would need to
be something kind of epic like that.
It's
for
got
sure.
To be something that ties Springfield together as
well. Yeah, yeah, it ties the whole town together, and like with the family being the main involvement, obviously. That's a really good idea. But yeah, we get the flashback to Jebediah Springfield saying, oh, like they're on horses. He's like, we better stop here because the horses are dead. And he sees a spring and a field. I'm like, okay, we'll call it Field Spring. Since this place is a historical landmark, renovations are not permitted. And he says, like, hypothetically, this is Hubert again, hypothetically, you can never fix your house again. And it was like, win-win! He returns the car to Thayer, saying that his only friends are those tragic drunks and Moes, And he says, everyone here... Oh, this is at the car dealership. He says, everyone here is just a rich jerk with a car. And one guy goes, he's right. This car isn't going to make my junk any bigger. And the other guy goes, he's right. I'm going to date a girl my own age. That reminds me, I was watching Jimmy Kimmel's Oscar monologue this morning. He had a great joke where Robert De Niro and Jodie Foster were both nominated for Oscars. And he said that they were both also nominated for Oscars back in 1976.
Wow.
For Taxi Driver. It was like 48 years later. He goes, back then Jodie Foster was young enough to be Robert De Niro's daughter. Now she's too old to be his wife. Great gag. And obviously cuts to Robert De Niro always having a good sense of humor about himself, you know, yeah. Doing the old man laugh, like, and his wife's beside him, just like,
you fucking, so there. You fucking schmuck.
Hey, you got me good day, Jimmy. I think people can learn from him. He can just take the joke, you know, because you caught the people at those Oscars and Golden Globes and stuff, and they just had the moodiest faces on them when someone makes a joke about them. It's like, you're not doing the Lord's work here. Man. Like,
do you know who really annoys me for that?
Tom Hanks. Yeah, totally. 100%.
My God, that guy can't take a joke.
As much as I love Tom Hanks, he's one of my favorite actors. Yeah. But yeah, geez, he wasn't even joking about Tom Hanks. He was just joking. This is Ricky Gervais at the last Golden Globes that he did, like, just making general jokes about.
I know, and he was just like, do you know what it is though?
Couldn't
like,
take it.
It's because Tom Hanks is like literally one of the elites of Hollywood.
Totally, and he's a lovely guy. And I love Tom Hanks. He just seems like one of the most humble, modest people in the world. But it's like, yeah. He's aware that obviously the people Ricky is making fun of, he's obviously in that club, you know. It's like, yeah.
He's in another club as well.
No, I don't, I refuse to believe that. Well, it has always been fact checked that that's not true. I really hope not. But, I mean, I also that same year he was getting a special achievement award, so that's also probably a part of why he had such a moody face on. It was like, I'm going to have to go up and do like a really dramatic speech soon about how important my career has been to
this
me.
This is why
this
we
guy's
love
just
Ricky
tore me to 100%. Yeah, it's like, fuck that shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're playing a character.
Yeah.
Don't act like you're saving the world. You know what I mean? And I love actors, obviously, and it's a medium I really respect. And I am an actor, but like, I don't want to ever. I would like to be at that level of success, obviously, but I would never want to be that pretentious about it. Yeah, because fuck that. But yeah, where were we? Oh yeah, the guy saying that he's going to date a girl his own age, and Homer tells Marge that when you have love, you don't need a fancy car. They drive off together and immediately breaks down. Oh yeah, God, this is a fun little finale. We cut back again to Jebediah Springfield. So they're trying to build Springfield, and he says to his baby that someday it'll all be his. The baby's Mr. Burns, and he raises
ridiculous,
hilarious, and he raises him like the Lion King, and he was right. It did eventually all become his.
Yes, Mr. Burns as a baby is kind of cute.
He is a cute little baby.
Maybe
yeah.
this potential Simpsons episode
would you kill baby
something
Burns
to do with Mr. Burns?
Yeah, I mean, a great way to bring him.
You know
in.
How people always he's like, oh, would you kill Hitler if you went back in time?
That's what I was saying. Yeah,
it's like
it could be the Springfield version of that. Yeah, the Simpsons version. Would you kill baby Burns? Yeah, it could be like he like properly takes over Springfield and like wants to go back in time and stop it with the help of Professor Frank. That'd be a
Springfield
fantastic episode.
Maybe he goes back and Springfield isn't how it actually was.
Of course, because that's a time travel rule.
It's
like,
actually like a horrible place.
Maybe he never married Marge. You know, it tries to be like personal sakes for Homer as well. This is a great episode. That could be the second movie. I think
literally.
This is fantastic.
Imagine that the movie comes out and that's literally it.
We'd have to sue.
No, because we'd know they came up with it ages ago.
Yeah. You would hope so anyway. Yeah. Imagine having to sue your heroes. For me anyway, like my heroes, having to sue them. That wouldn't be fun. Or if just you sued them, I didn't participate. It was like, whose side am I on? My friends or the people who've inspired me my whole life?
When you see that check come in, I think I know what you're...
Yeah, that's true. I think I'll probably take your side. But it then gets revealed that the spot went on to become an outhouse, a speakeasy, a place where witches were burnt, and the home of a radical cult, a Reagan campaign headquarters. It got sucked and... It swallowed up into a sinkhole and then spat back out again, and then it became the Simpsons home. And we cut to it in the future where it's like a tour. We see they're passing through a display of Maggie's pacifier, a room just labeled the room where President Lisa Simpson grew up, a Homer spacesuit, a photo of Bad Halloween Candy Lady, which I thought was hilarious. Like, she's just as iconic as the other things. And Grandpa's death mask, and they start staring at it, and Grandpa just goes, what are you looking at? That concludes the episode.
I always love when like cartoons and like shows goes to like a future museum of places. I don't know why.
I hear
I love
you.
That Black Mirror episode.
Where Black it's, like, Museum. Fantastic. So yeah. Cool. So
I love when stuff when shows do that. I don't know why.
You like museums as a plot point, a plot device maybe. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
Like I remember that's that Doctor Who episode where there's like that Dalek in the museum. It's the Chris Eccleston one.
Oh yes, yes, fantastic. Yeah,
it's the
first time
they brought back the Daleks.
That one's awesome. Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I guess it is an interesting plot device. There's just so much you can do with a museum, like the history behind
something's
it.
Terrifying.
Where these relics come from and stuff.
Yeah, and it's terrifying about thinking about museums coming to life.
Yeah.
Obviously,
is there a
Night
horror
at the
film?
Museum's great.
I think obviously, that came into my head.
And
yeah.
Obviously, the second Scooby Doo film, live action.
Oh, shit, life. Yeah. Monsters Unleashed. So, so good.
But there must be some horror, actual horror stuff.
I was just thinking like, that, yeah, that's such an obvious horror. Like, I haven't heard of one, but like, there, you must have.
Yeah. There must be something.
Even just Night at the Museum as a horror would be that same plot point, but
imagine,
it's a horror.
Yeah, imagine Night at the Museum, but it's not a comedy.
That'd be petrifying. Yeah, totally. All these, like the freaking Genghis Khan people, whatever they're called, like coming to life and trying to kill you and stuff. That'd be a really good horror. Super high budget, but yeah, that'd be fascinating. But yeah, that concludes the episode.
Yeah.
After you, sir.
Well,
sir.
So I can admit that this episode had a few things that didn't make sense.
Shortcomings,
It felt like they added a lot of things at a convenience just to move the plot along.
Definitely.
I did like how balanced the plots were.
Hmm.
However, it did fit. Everything felt convenient. Like an example would be, whose niece's like Lisa's nerd,
Hubert.
Yeah, it felt like obviously he was like the rival and helped Nelson, but it was like, oh, how do we get him? How do we make it make sense that he would be helping Nelson?
To go back, yeah.
Oh, yeah. When he had my head down the toilet, I couldn't say no. That kind
he
of
gave
thing.
Him a swirly, yeah, that was it.
It just, things felt too obvious just to help the plot move along.
Yeah. And the way he wraps up is just him being like, look bad in a cause applications and just stop.
Yeah.
And then Barrett and Nelson just forgive each other.
That felt too convenient. And
yeah.
Rushed. And also, I didn't really understand. Obviously, it makes sense when their house was like blacking out all the sunlight.
Mm.
The Simpsons house.
Yes.
But it felt like the whole time it's like, we got new neighbors, but why is them renovating their house
that big of
like
a deal?
Suddenly like,
yeah,
they're renovating their house. This is a problem. This is a problem. It's
I not, agree.
I didn't get that.
I agree.
I'm not sure if that's a thing in America that people don't like, but
maybe
if next door to me is renovating, I'm like, well, it's annoying that there's going to be builders at 9 a.m. but
yeah,
it happens.
Exactly.
It doesn't really
make
me hate my neighbor or like.
I agree with
I didn't
you.
Understand that.
If it became a problem when you got to the point of that they were blocking their sunlight, then fair enough. But yeah, it was a huge problem immediately when they started renovating. It was like, people renovate their house.
It.
Yeah,
that,
totally.
And that was the big thing that
like
was,
he betrayed him.
Yeah,
yeah, totally. It's just like, what? This is he betraying you? I thought he was going to like scam Homer into buying a car.
Yeah.
So that would have made way more sense. You know that he was like a criminal, or something, like a crooked dealer. It's like he's not. He just wants to make his house nicer.
But
you know, I didn't really see him as a bad guy. There.
Really?
No, he didn't do anything
he
wrong.
He always made it seem like he was going to be a bad guy, but
he never really crossed Homer. No.
Yeah. But what I will say is, I really actually, even though some of it didn't make sense, I actually just enjoyed the episode.
It was just fun gags, yeah,
like,
for sure.
The gags were hilarious.
Yeah.
I loved Homer, like, kind of getting the Lamborghini and everything.
Mm.
I did really enjoy the side plot.
I preferred the side plot, personally.
Did you?
Yeah. As I said, I did think it was wrapped up way too conveniently, but, like, the
as
stuff
a whole, it was enjoyable.
Yeah,
was
like
really
Nelson.
Funny.
Yeah, Nelson going like full bully and like the montage of like all the embarrassing videos and stuff was funny. Yeah, I liked all that stuff for sure.
That I enjoyed, and sometimes you just have to like rate out of pure enjoyment.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
Even though I could admit there were things wrong with the episode, I just loved it, and I actually would watch it again. So I'm gonna give it 7.5.
Shit, okay.
Just because I actually really enjoyed it. If I didn't enjoy it, I'd probably rate it lower than what you're probably going to rate it.
I give it a 7. But,
yeah.
Okay. I know I sounded like very critical at the beginning. I thought the plots were inconsistent, but I agree with you. Like, it did make up for it in that there was a lot of really good gags.
Really good
I mean,
gags.
To be honest, I think the best parts of the episode were the bits that had nothing to do with the plot.
If the plot made sense, this would be one of the best episodes of the season.
Totally, yeah, yeah. So. I never really thought about it, but like now that you say it, I realize that's actually one of the episode's biggest issues, is that their problem with renovating was just, it made no sense. No. It was like, why would that be a problem? Yeah, 100%. And that he betrayed him and stuff. It was like, but no, he didn't. He's just renovating his house.
I know,
like,
yeah. He's allowed to do this.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And it's almost like they were a wealthy couple. Like, I would have known from... If a wealthy couple moved next door to me today, I would know immediately that everyone's already renovating the house.
Assume.
Like, you wouldn't need to tell me otherwise. Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I thought the plots were inconsistent, but yeah, totally, it did make up for just consistently funny gags. Like, the Skinner and Chalmers bits were brilliant, the Gill gag, like, there were so many fun bits like that. I said it was very filler, and it did at points feel like it was just getting the job done, but did so in a very fun way. So I feel like the Nelson story definitely had a whole lot to it, and I thought the episode maybe could have benefited if the roles were reversed. If the Nelson plot was actually the main plot, and the Homer and Thayer plot was the side story.
Do you know what? I think you're right.
Yeah.
I really think you're right.
I feel like they gave the wrong story focus. Mm. Yeah, because it was so simple.
There was you think about it, a lot more happening with the Nelson plot.
I think so. There was more meat to it. Yeah, like...
More characters, just everything.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And I liked seeing Bart involved in like a kind of classic Bart way. And even like we've seen Nelson grow so much as a character recently, and I liked that. But at the same time, it was nice to kind of go back to classic Nelson too. And it made sense why he went there, like watching that video, and it just made him go, no, I'm a bully and no one can tell me otherwise, you know? I like that stuff, yeah. I totally feel like it could have benefited if there was more focus given to that and less focus given to the Homer and Thayer plot. Because that plot did feel like there wasn't a lot to it, but because they made it the main focus, they had to stretch it out. So that's why the whole renovating plot came in and everything, yeah. And yeah, overall, I said there's so many great character moments throughout. Like I said, yeah, the Skinner and Chalmers, Gil, the Kirk bit I absolutely loved. And I think that made up for any shortcomings the episode
the
had.
The Willy part was the
best. Oh, yeah, 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 totally. Oh, I love the Goodfellas sequence. Yeah, no, the Goodfellas sequence is my favorite bit of the whole episode, 100%. Because you just had that fun, the camera pan following him into the cafeteria was so funny, like well animated, and then just brilliant conclusion with the greased up version. Yeah, just brilliant. Yeah, it was a fun episode. I think when we get to the end of the season, it's going to be one of the more kind of forgettable ones. But yeah, it's one of those ones. It's fun while it lasts. And I agree with you. It was just like on TV. It's like a classic Simpsons episode in the most kind of basic way.
Yeah.
But it's still really enjoyable.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. All right. That wraps it up. Let's jump into the news.
Dylan Simpson news. Dylan Simpson's news. Dylan Simpson's news.
Unfortunately, there really hasn't been much news recently. I only have one piece of news this week. What can I say?
Boo.
I couldn't find anything, unfortunately. This was the one thing I thought was kind of interesting. It's definitely not true, but it's funny when these things happen. Is clips from the season 5 episode Bart's Inner Child were going viral, saying that it predicted the Willy Wonka experience.
Oh, this was tragic.
I know, yeah, it was so funny though. But there's an episode, do you remember the one where Homer gets the trampoline? And it ends up being like a cursed trampoline, but he wants to profit from it, so he like makes like Homerland.
Yeah.
And he charges.
And he starts, all the kids like have to pay money.
Yeah, like $50 entry, and it's just the trampoline. So like that predicted the Willy Wonka experience. But it was also showing clips or pictures from an episode called Sweet and Sour Marriage in season 13. Where it's like a really depressed Oompa Loompa smoking a cigarette. It's like, oh, that predicted the depressed Oompa Loompa and the Willy Wonka experience.
I mean,
it's a very
this is
a stretch.
This is a stretch.
It was a stretch, but it was funny.
You're predict like usually it's like, oh, Simpsons predicted that, you know, something happens in politics, but you can't really say, oh, Simpsons predicted this random tragic Willy Wonka experience in Glasgow.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's such a stretch.
You could make the argument if, like, the experience Homer made was also Charlie and Chocolate Factory connected, but it wasn't. So no. It's like, it's a stretch, but it was funny seeing the parallels, the connections people made.
If anyone hasn't seen this, by the way, just search. I'm pretty sure
it went very
Willy
viral.
Wonka experience.
Yeah,
like it's
Glasgow,
tragic.
Maybe.
So tragic.
It is hilarious though. The fucking little creepy goblin thingy. Oh, they're making a horror film about that goblin.
What?
Yeah.
that weird like person in the mask that just comes out.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, okay, they're making a horror film about that. Oh, has nothing to do with Willy Wonka whatsoever.
They just added this really scary person in a mask.
That has nothing to do with the freaking Roald Dahl story.
Oh man, so it's funny. So depressing. Yeah. I'm always fascinated by it.
It's tragic. It, and they charge £50.
Like, the thought of you going in there for £50. It's like, it's the fact that there's some objects. So there should be like a random pipe.
Yeah.
But then there's nothing around it.
I know.
It's not complete. Like the chocolate waterfall. It's just like, oh man.
And they had like, was it Smarties or something? Like, oh, like
they were just had like an assortment of those like classic sweets.
Yeah, but they ran out after the first group of people, and the second group didn't have any chocolate.
But they were literally just like, they had like a fucking plastic tub full of these like very common UK sweets. Just like, oh, here you go.
The cheapest ones possible. Yeah, it's so funny. Did you see the connections they were making? There's always something in Philadelphia as well. It was like something that they would do on that show. Sure. Yeah, it's so true. Yeah, it's very funny. And that is the only piece of news this week, unfortunately. So let's jump on into Seb's classics.
Yeah. I went for a more later classic.
Season 15,
I went for The Fat and the Furriest.
Yes.
And I chose this episode purely based off the description. Nostalgia?
Oh, okay.
Of the episode, because I think I've probably seen it maybe once before, but...
Really? I feel like, from my memory, this is one that was on Channel 4 a lot.
Really?
I remember seeing this one
I definitely remember it from Channel 4, that's where I saw it, but I don't know how many times I've seen it.
Sure.
But when I was reading the description, I was like, this has to be... The Seps classic. Yeah. It sounded hilarious.
It's great.
And
fun.
It was hilarious.
It is.
So Homer buys Marge for Mother's Day. A fun, convenient, because yesterday was Mother's Day.
Yeah, I was thinking that too when I was watching it. Yeah, the Carnival of Candy or Carnival Kitchen.
And so it was like this big, this like rectangle thing, and it had a caramel dip station, it had a cotton candy station, and then a deep fryer.
Yeah.
And Homer decides, they're all having fun with it, but Homer decides one night he's going to make the biggest cotton candy possible.
Yeah, he's getting all evil doing it, like, yeah. Dare I put caramel on the cotton candy?
Caramel all over it. Which I feel like in real life would just, like, melt the cotton candy.
Yeah,
on cotton candy.
Of course it would. But and it'd be disgusting.
It was still funny.
Yeah.
And he ends up getting, like, obsessed with it, and it just lasts forever for some reason. Like, he's just taking bites out of it whenever.
It's still there. And oh my god, the joke totally went over my head every single time I see the episode is when he gets the kids to try it. He's like, yes, kid.
This freaked me out.
Suck on daddy's salty. Was this sugar? Suck on daddy's sugar ball.
Yeah, they were like,
horrific.
That's it, kid. Suck on daddy's sugary ball.
God. How did they get away with that? I was shook when I saw it. I was like, how did this guy go over my head? Did I just repress it?
I was thinking, I was like, do they mean something else by this? Or do I have a dirty mind? Like,
they mean what they mean. Oh, horrific, but it was funny.
But it ends up becoming Homer's best friend. He's obsessed with it. It gets absolutely disgusting.
He puts a hat on it so that he can do like the designated driver the carpool thing, the carpool lane.
He ends up getting obsessed with it, dresses it up, becomes covered in like dust, socks, everything. And then it gets
ridiculous.
Homer's head, it gets a mind of its own.
Yeah.
But this ended up just being, just again, like with that episode that had the caterpillar at the start.
Yeah.
It's just like a random opening, and then
it's such a crazy weird
episode,
which I
loved it.
It's good fun. Yeah, totally leads into the main plot. Yeah,
but Homer gets attacked by a bear, and in order to take on this bear again, I just love how simple this episode
is. It's just Homer versus
just so
a bear.
Homer.
Yeah.
He ends up getting like this assortment of gear.
Yeah.
And he
which
looks,
not a worry.
He looks tragic.
Yeah, I'm just metal, and he didn't have one for his butt. And they're like, why didn't you make a shield for your bones? Like, oh, in case things go haywire, I need to have some way to dispose of my fear. Very funny.
Yeah, so he seeks out vengeance on the bear.
Yeah.
Obviously,
one of my favorite bits is when they go out camping. It's like Homer, Bart, Lenny, and Carol. And he wants to go clean himself. He has walkie-talkies to contact them in case he needs them. And Bart goes to check it. The battery's gone. We see that Lenny and Carol replaced it with for the radio. They start playing Sky Rockets in Flight, Afternoon Light. He gets attacked by the bear while he's had the shield on. He's like calling for them. This cuts him like Lenny, Carol, and Bart all just dancing together, singing the song. Such a fun bit.
Oh, man.
I love the character of Grant Connors as well, the hunter. I thought he was a great character.
He was a character.
Probably my favorite quote of the whole episode is Kemp Robin interviewing him, because he was the person who recorded Homer getting attacked by the bear. And he's like, and for once, they didn't record it with a gun. It's like, that's true. Sometimes I do mix up cameras and guns. Once, very tragically, at a wedding.
So fun. Like, I love these episodes where Homer just gets his mind set on something.
Yeah, totally. It's such a stupid, ridiculous scheme.
Yeah.
He's going to take down a bear as vengeance because he embarrassed him from the town.
And that's the thing, it's mad that he didn't, like, die.
I know, yeah.
He just got mauled by a bear and came home.
Yeah, like when they make up, because he has, like, a security tag on him that Grant Connors put on him, he takes it off and the bear becomes ice. And he just goes, oh, give me a bear hug. And he hugs him. He's like, just torn Homer's back. And he's like, oh, why do bear hugs have such a good reputation? Yeah. I love the whole scene as well, where, like, they're bonding together, they're like both eating out the trash together, and the bear gives Homer a spoon for the ice cream.
Yeah.
Yeah, their bond was nice. It really feels like a cartoon, this episode. Like, it's ridiculous.
100%.
You know,
it's such a wacky
episode. Yeah, because, like, the thing that leads into the main plot is that he becomes obsessed with a ball of cotton candy and caramel.
It reminded me of that SpongeBob episode with the bubble. With the bubble
boy. Oh, yeah, remember? The bubble boy. Yeah. I can see that connection. Yeah, it's totally similar kind of arcs that SpongeBob and Homer go through in that episode, for sure. I just like the relationship with the bear. Even though it is ridiculous, it is funny and sweet. I love at the end where he frees him, like, gets him away from the hunters, and he goes to, like, the peaceful wildlife area of the forest where they can't shoot anybody. And he's like, and Marge's like, oh, I'm so proud of you. You set the bear free. He's just being attacked by an elephant.
There's a fucking random elephant.
In the middle of the woods.
They should have made the elephant,
Stampy. I think it kind of was. It looks like the same animation. Okay. I mean, it doesn't literally say that it's Stampy, but it looks like the same, yeah. But wonderful, really fun episode. Just fun, stupid, silly gags throughout.
Yeah,
it's not like a spectacular Simpsons, but just good, fun one.
It's great. It gets an 8 out of 10 for me. It's
same.
It's a perfectly good Simpsons episode, and it's hilarious.
Very.
You
want to
sit
down,
tune out, and watch Homer be Homer.
Yeah, and he is Homer from start to finish. Like, he forgets Mother's Day, becomes obsessed with the cotton candy ball, and then becomes obsessed with the bear and taking down this bear. Yeah, it is very, very classic Homer. Also, one more quick bit that I love is when he puts the cotton candy on his head. He's into, like, a wig. He's like, only my hairdresser knows for sure.
Oh, yeah.
That is so stupid and funny. Yeah,
this
wonderful.
I mean, sometimes, I don't know if you get this, but whenever I watch a horror movie, I love horror movies, but
same.
Whenever I watch a horror movie, I have to watch something a bit lighthearted afterwards.
Yeah.
This would be a good post-horror movie.
Yeah, very true. Just a very, like, as silly as possible Simpsons.
Yeah.
No real heart, just, like, pure stupid, but, like, in the best way. Yeah, I agree with that, totally.
The worst thing when watching horror movies is when, like, you go to the toilet and you're, like,
you're petrified
in the hallway and you just feel like something's behind you. And you're, like,
and you're home alone.
As quick as possible.
Yeah, you're home alone. It's so terrifying. I remember being...
Imagine a horror movie, but that exists.
What?
Like, there's this weird thing where when you watch horror movies, there actually is something, like, coming behind you when you go to the toilet.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know, like a little short movie or something.
Yeah, you didn't know. Yeah, that's. I'm surprised. I mean, there probably is. I've never seen
it. They've probably done it before.
Yeah, it seems obvious. I've never seen, like, a short or anything where that's happened. I remember, just, like, so dumb that I did this, but I was home in Ireland. My mom, my stepdad, and my brother were away for the weekend. So I was home alone in, like, this big, lovely house that they have. And I watched both creep movies for the first time. I was home alone in this massive house, like, in this fucking little quiet village in Ireland. Like, what was I doing to myself?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's the perfect place for that shit to happen to.
Yeah, exactly. Like, no one can hear you scream. Because, Matthew Plass plays that character so brilliantly. I'm petrified by this one guy. And, like, I'm fucking, like, do you know that, that's, like...
I know.
That quiet, cautious walk to your bed. And it's pitch dark. So terrifying, yeah. Anyhow, let's jump into Keep It Short. So yeah, for those of you who don't know, I'm covering...
Yeah, it's all about keeping it short. He had to come out eventually.
Yeah, fair enough. For those of you who don't know, this is the segment where I covered the Tracy Ullman Show shorts, which most of them I've never seen before. This one I also haven't seen. This one is very simply just called Bart Jump. Did you watch this? I sent it to you?
I haven't seen this.
Oh, you didn't? Okay, no, it's very, very quick.
I wasn't aware I had to watch it.
You said you wanted me to start sending it to you. Sorry, I did send it to you.
Oh, one more thing, sorry, before you jump into this.
That's fine.
Just went over Seb's classics.
Oh, yeah.
Next week...
Oh, you're teasing it.
I'm going to be doing Seb's new classics.
Oh!
So I'm just going to do this once in a while.
Sure.
So what it is I'm going to choose a new episode that I think will eventually be a classic.
Interesting.
So one that people will look back on.
But obviously not one that we've covered in the podcast.
Not one we've covered in the podcast.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
Season 30 and beyond, I think.
Nice.
I will choose.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for this idea. Yeah, I love that. I think that really goes in tandem with the podcast too, because obviously my whole point here is I want people to know that this whole myth of the later seasons not being good.
Yeah.
You know, there's some episodes aren't great, but I think for the most part, it's pretty consistent.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great idea to kind of just establish that point even further. So yeah, I'm very excited for that. It's a good little tease for the next podcast. But yeah, going way, way back in the past before the show even came out, here's the third Tracy Ullman show short. It's literally just called Bart's Jump. It's very simple, but pretty fun. It's Bart on the table, the Homer's trying to get him to leap. It's so stupid. He wants to get him used to leaping, and he's like, "You can do it, Bart." And then he jumps. He's like,
"Jump, Bart."
Yeah. Then he jumps. He's like, "You call that a leap?" And he says that Bart's always been afraid of falling on his head ever since he was a little boy. And he's like, come on, boy. I know you're good at leaping. He can't think of the past tense for leap. And he walks away. And Bart leaps as he walks away and falls face first into the ground. And he comes back and he's like, with a dictionary. He's like, "Huh, what do you know? Lep and leapt. They're both right." And then he goes, and then he asks him to jump again, and then he goes, the doorbell rings, he goes to get that. He's like, "Oh, look, boy, the boxing gloves have arrived." Basically, the guy is just like, he keeps saying Bart to jump, but every time he goes to jump, over, he's distracted by something else.
Yeah.
Bart falls on his head. Quite crude humor. Very, very, like, you know, I guess maybe the first signs of, like, him, even though it's unintentionally, but, like, being, like, abusive to Bart. Yeah. But obviously, it's like, the old school, like, Homer, where he wants to be a good dad, but he's just a little bit misguided. So that was kind of the guy there. I thought it was done pretty well. And, yeah, let's jump into recommendations of the week.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yes. Rock.
How do you still forget that this is what we do?
I don't know. My brain. My brain always forgets, and if you didn't remind me, I wouldn't do it. I don't know, my brain always forgets about it, even though it's most people's favorite part of the whole show.
Factually,
yes.
Well, actually, no, after Seb's class.
After Seb's class, yeah, of course. Yeah. Rock, paper, scissors. I always forget it, but I always win.
Yep.
Humble brag.
Honestly, if we did a tally, I reckon I've won about two the whole podcast. I don't know what it is about.
It's the one thing I'm good at. Yeah. Rock, paper, scissors, for some weird reason.
Yeah.
I have some sixth sense about it.
You're good at scissoring.
I mean, I did pick scissors a lot, so yeah, that makes sense. I got a movie and a TV show this week. So the first one I'll go for... Have you even heard of Bowfinger?
The name kind of rings a bell. I feel like I've heard
this movie is so underrated. It's Steve Martin and Eddie Murphy. It should get way more... To be fair, it is critically acclaimed, but no one seems to have known about it.
Hmm.
It's so fun. It's written by Steve Martin and starring himself and Eddie Murphy. And basically in the movie, Eddie Murphy plays a huge movie star, and Steve Martin is like a down-on-his-luck producer and director who wants to make a big film. So he makes a movie that this movie star is in, but he doesn't know he's in it.
Okay.
So he basically keeps putting him in situations where, like, he'll meet like a character in the movie and he's filming him without his awareness, and he's just reacting to the weird person, basically. Okay. It's a really fun concept.
Good.
Yeah, it's done really, really well. Steve Martin and Eddie Murphy are both absolutely hilarious, and it spirals out of control naturally. And yeah, super fun, really funny movie. Steve Martin is absolutely irredeemable, and he's just such a dickhead. And Eddie Murphy plays two characters, as Eddie Murphy usually does, and plays them both really, really brilliantly. Yeah, just a really, really funny, stupid movie in the best way. It's like a 90s comedy, you know, where they just go for like the darkest and the most brutal jokes, but they're not afraid to just go there because it was before people start getting sensitive, you know. It's very, very, yeah. Really, really recommended. Fun movie. Directed by Frank Oz as well.
Is it on any streaming?
Amazon's what I watched it on. Okay. Yeah, really, really fun movie. Yeah, I would highly recommend. Yeah, what is your recommendation for the week?
So my first recommendation is, I've recommended this podcast, but I think I recommended
Diary of a CEO.
Diary of a CEO.
Yeah.
And
you recommended like a coffee.
The coffee one. Right?
Yeah.
I listened to one the other day. I love this podcast.
Yeah,
it's
clearly,
just so
yeah.
informative. Mm. Like, covers everything. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
So this one is titled The Narcissism Doctor. 1 in 6 people are narcissists. Are narcissists better in bed? Can a narcissist change? Dr. Ramani Devasula.
Okay.
Butchered the name probably.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she she is basically a doctor of narcissism. So
jeez.
She covers every type of narcissism in this episode.
Fascinating.
Like how, on average, how many people are narcissists, how to spot narcissist behavior in people, what makes a narcissist, etc., etc.
Yeah.
So what the biggest thing I got from this episode is, holy shit, a lot more people are narcissists than you think.
Yeah.
I don't think you are.
I was going to ask, which is quite a narcissistic thing to do.
Yes.
Making it about myself. Thanks.
But it makes you realize how many people you have known or know.
Did it make you realize the people you know are narcissists who you didn't think were narcissists?
To be honest, the people I know that are narcissists, I feel like I already knew.
Okay.
It's like confirmation.
It solidified it, yeah,
but
you will I'll definitely ask you after we're done recording who.
You will meet people now, like, oh, well, if you ever listen to this, you
I think I will, it sounds really interesting.
People after this, and you'll start noticing behaviors in people, and you'll be like, Dylan does stand up like a few times a week, if not more.
Yeah.
And I reckon you must meet a handful of narcissists a week there.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is when you talk to people and they're so quick to make every story or anything you're telling them about themselves. You know what I mean? And I've kind of just done it now, but I think I did it naturally.
Yeah.
It's like it will make no sense. Like I'll be telling you a story about something that happened to me while I was in Ireland. And
yeah, but also when I was back. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And they're not listening to my story at all. And they don't even care about my story now. It's just an opportunity for them to talk about
themselves.
You can see
them like waiting to jump.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're not even listening to me. You're just trying to find a moment you can jump in about yourself.
That's like also doesn't necessarily. It might not mean they are.
No.
But it's definitely a behavior.
It's a pattern, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
So yeah, no, if anyone wants to ruin their life.
It sounds really interesting. I think I'll listen to it. It sounds
you
very
might realize you are a narcissist, but we all have narcissistic behaviors,
of course, yeah, and tendencies.
Yeah.
But I think if you listen to it, it made you realize that you were like genuinely a narcissist. It could probably help you. I don't think it would ruin your life.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like a lot of people are very torn between like, can you ever cure
narcissism?
I think you can.
Yeah, I think so too.
You just
yeah.
change your brain's engineering.
Yeah, yeah. Knowing is the most important part of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you go to see a therapist. They help you realize what's wrong with you. Like maybe you overthink a lot. Where overthinking is coming from, stuff like that. So that would definitely apply if you found out you're a narcissist as
for
well.
Sure.
You know,
yeah, for sure.
Or it's like getting diagnosed with autism or something. Is the only way to help that is the first way to help that is becoming aware of it. You know.
Yeah.
That sounds really interesting. I definitely have a listen to that. I am fascinated. And yeah, I love it. Your recommendations are always like these really intellectual things, like, oh, if you listen to it, if you watch it, like it'll challenge you. Mine are like dumb comedy.
I just feel like my brain's already like stimulated.
Yeah,
I have to be receiving like intellectual information, you know.
You'll be the next Jordan Pearson.
Here's the thing, I'll be listening to that shit
and
then I'll be watching some like absolute
American
brain rot on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
sure.
Yeah.
I hear that. But yeah, my last recommendation then is a fantastic show I watched while I was home that you can find on Amazon called Horace and Pete. It was made by Louis C.K. I'm sure you haven't heard of it.
No,
it was
but I love Louis C.K.
Yeah, same. It was made by him when he was at his peak. And it's insane how he did it. So it's filmed the way you'd film a sitcom, you know, like in like a studio and like with multi cameras, but there's no live audience, and it's not a comedy at all.
Okay.
It's very weird how he did it, but the cast is insane. It's all set in a bar. These two brothers run. The brothers are played by Louis C.K. and Steve Buscemi, and the cast around them is mental. Edie Falco is in it, who is Linda Soprano. Alan Alda, Jessica Lange, Who else is there? Paul Simon's in an episode randomly.
I already love the sound of this.
It's great,
that,
man.
Like something that's filmed like a sitcom. It's not.
It's not a sitcom. Yeah, it's cool. Quite jarring. But I think you would like, because I know you usually like quite bleak stuff, and it's so fucking bleak.
Really,
it's one of the bleakest things I've ever seen. There's like no hope in it. Every episode is like close to an hour long. There's 10 episodes. It's basically about these brothers running this bar in New York that's starting to go under. Like they're struggling to keep it open. It's just them trying to bring business back so they can keep like their family heritage alive, basically. It's so tragic. And Louis C.K. and Super Champions relationship is beautiful. They have such great chemistry. You really believe them as brothers. And Steve Buscemi's character in it is like mental. Like he's on you know, some sort of medication to wind him down, but there's like multiple storylines popping up, like him forgetting to take it and going wild and stuff like that, and Louis has to take care of him. It's done really, really beautifully. It really like encapsulates on like kind of like family dynamics and drama and stuff as well. Edie Falco is like their sister, and she really wants to shut the bar down so that they can claim the insurance on it, but they really want to keep it open, so there's all that drama also. It's done really, really well. Nice. And Alan Alda plays their uncle, and he's like super racist, they still love him. And there's like kind of interesting dynamics there about that. One of the most interesting things that really threw me off it, honestly, is in like episode 6 or 7, there's all these people who come to the bar as like his regular customers, and they're all like played by comedians. Obviously, Louis C.K. loves comedians. It's like Mark Norman's in it. I was so thrown by Mark Norman.
So random.
Because it's such a serious show, and Mark Norman comes in, and his character's name is Mark. And he's so dumb in it. Like,
when did this come out?
2016.
Oh, interesting.
It would have been, he used to open for Louis C.K., so it would have been back when he was his opener, obviously, yeah. It really threw me. I didn't know he was in it. I was like, oh shit, Mark Norman. Yeah. It really threw me because it was so not, like, tonally, it was so dramatic. And then Mark Norman comes in and just plays an absolute doofus. But, like,
I
brilliantly.
Like they still kept him Mark Norman.
He was completely, I mean, he
so
couldn't
I
play anybody
say
else.
He was a really serious
no,
character.
I don't think Mark Norman could. I can't see him playing anybody other than Mark Norman. Yeah. No, Louis definitely casted him to type. But, yeah, no, it's genuine. It's a really, really fun show. Yeah. It's not fun. It's a really good, well-written show. It's on Amazon at the moment. It's not exclusive to Amazon, so I don't know how long it'll be there. But if someone's interested who doesn't have Amazon, it's also available to buy on Louis C.K.'s website for only £5. You can get all 10 episodes, which is pretty good, yeah. Yeah, wonderfully made. You can tell it was just like a labor of love for Louis. I didn't know he was going through something at the time, but like he wrote every single episode on his own, and they're all beautifully written and powerful, but so bleak. So yeah, it's beautiful.
Sounds great.
Yeah, yeah, really, really great show.
Well,
highly recommend.
Speaking of on your own, that ties into my next recommendation.
Yeah, sure.
Masturbating. So, I got recommended this book, and I got given this book yesterday at work.
Oh shit!
Or not, I've read half.
Whoa!
It's so good.
Must be a short book.
Medium.
Okay.
I would say
fair play.
I got given it like earlier on in the day, and I ended up
yesterday. You're nearly done.
Yeah.
Well, you're halfway through.
Halfway through.
Damn.
Reading bits throughout the day. And then when I got back from work,
you just couldn't stop
just
reading.
Ended up binging it.
Yeah.
Until I went to bed.
Damn.
It was so good. So I'm recommending it. I haven't even finished it, but I know it's so good.
Yeah.
So it's called Solitude.
Okay.
By Anthony Storr.
Hmm.
I'm going to read the description of the book.
Sure.
A preeminent work in self-help and popular psychology literature.
Hmm.
Solitude was seminal in challenging the psychological paradigm that interpersonal relationships of an intimate kind are the chief, if not the only, source of human happiness? So the whole book covers like ways in which being in solitude helps you. So all the like big philosophers, a lot of creatives,
as in like spending alone time
for some reason,
yeah,
love alone time.
Yeah, yeah.
So many are celibate, optionally.
Wow.
You know, like. And it sort of talks through that, but then it also talks about the need for the human interaction and love.
Of course,
and
there needs to be a balance.
It challenges your views on it, and it's just really informative, and it's really good for self-help as well. So if anyone's into that.
Of course, a lot of time is important, and it's crazy to me how many people take it for granted or just actively avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you I think you need it, like
100%.
That's like a great book. I'll add it to my reading list. That sounds like my cup of tea, definitely.
I said to people before, like, that I really want to go on holiday on my own to like a remote location and just be on my own for a week, and people are like, I don't get it,
And I'm like, look, if you're not capable of being alone, something wrong with you.
Exactly.
You need to like,
you're always going to be alone. Yeah. You're always going to find yourself in situations where you're,
I can heal more
solo
as well if I'm alone.
Totally, dude. Alone time is super important to me. I mean, thankfully I kind of had a good grasp of it early on because of being an only child, but I think I only truly started to understand and appreciate and understand the importance of alone time in the lockdown, because you had to be alone. And I realized just how if I just let that alone time happen and stop trying to search for someone to hang out with, or you know what I mean, that I just start to ease a bit more, start thinking a little slowly. And I actually found that I started getting better ideas and getting more ideas because I wasn't actively trying to meet somebody, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
So it's super important. I mean, I try to have one day a week now where I just have a day to myself.
Me too.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Dylan invited me to watch Dune 2 today, and I said no, purely on the basis that I just don't fancy it, and I fancy having a day to myself.
If this is your 1 week, like, or your 1 day of the week, I totally get that. But yeah, like, you just get it on record that you rejected hanging out with me after the podcast. But yeah, no, it's super important. Speaking of Louis C.K., I heard him talk about this on Joe Rogan before, and I really agreed with it, actually. It's like the importance of being bored, of like putting yourself into a situation where you get bored. That's when ideas start to flow more. If you're just actively surrounding yourself in things and people and stuff happening around you, it's just like too much stimulus going on that your brain isn't really working.
Yeah, I don't find many people more insufferable than people that can't be alone.
Totally.
People that constantly have to have something going on.
Yeah. You can tell there's just a deep loneliness to them. I think people who have alone time are actually less lonely because they're comfortable being on their own.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, whereas somebody who's petrified by alone time is actually an incredibly lonely person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds like a great book. I'll definitely add it to my reading list. That sounds fantastic. Yeah, I definitely think people who don't understand the importance of solitude could definitely do a reading, something like that, just to get a better grasp of it, you know? I even hear so many people I know who, like, you know, want to be writers and stuff like that, just saying how much they struggle to, like, just sit down and write. And I think it's a part of that. It's just they're so petrified by alone time. And if you're writing, you have to be on your own, you know? So, yeah, super interesting. Yeah, that's it, right? That's all your recommendations.
That's all,
yeah. Awesome. Let's wrap it up with a question. Yeah, two. One is... Am I right in saying that? Yeah, one Simpsons rating and one isn't. So what shall we go with first?
Let's go Simpsons first.
Let's go Simpsons, yeah. So the depths of Futurama. Great little page that just, like, shares random stills from Futurama that, like, looks so weird out of context. Fun little page. Said, what one-off character should get another episode? One-off character, yeah. Good question. It's tricky because, like, so many characters, like, once off, and you kind of like that they're once off. It's like, could bringing them back ruin the character?
Yeah.
But if you found the right story, I'm not against it. Like, one pops in my head immediately is Hank Scorpio.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you found the right story, bring him back, that'd be a great character to have come back. I mean, even, like, that's... Hank Scorpio is obviously voiced by Albert Brooks, who returned as Jock recently. And I thought they did a great job bringing him back after, like, not being in the show for 34 seasons, so... The right story, I think he'd be a great character to have come back, yeah.
I'm going to be greedy.
Mm-hmm.
I think this could be... It could, like, upset people.
Are you going to say Frank Grimes?
Yes.
Yeah, I had a feeling.
Frank Grimes.
Yeah.
But I'm also going to say Halloween Lady. So you got
Halloween
a serious
candy
answer
lady.
That I admit could go wrong. But a fun answer as well.
Halloween Candy Lady. I don't think anyone would be annoyed by her coming back. They were like, maybe they'd be like, why the fuck did they bring this character back? Annoyed, but they wouldn't be like, oh, you're destroying her legacy.
Yeah.
I think Frank has to be interesting. Obviously, we gotta keep in mind that he's dead. So it's like, bring him back like a prequel.
Yeah.
Find out about, like, how he got to where he is in Homer's Enemy a bit more intensely.
He never died, maybe.
Maybe he never died.
Yeah.
Another one that came to my head, which again could be challenging because the voice actor is dead, but you got a good impressionist to bring him to voice him. Larry Burns.
I was gonna say that.
Yeah.
I was gonna say that could be an interesting one to bring back.
Yeah, I mean, Rodney Dangerfield is long dead. If you got the right impressionists and the right writers to bring him back, I think you could do an interesting story there because there's so much more you can explore with Mr. Burns' long lost son. You know, there's lots more you can do there. Who else is there? Like, Bat's Babysitter came to my head, but it's like, What could you do with her?
Yeah.
Laura Powers, I'm not too sure. Yeah, who else is there? Hank Scorpio was the first one that kind of popped into my brain. I mean, he's not in only one episode, but he's not in a whole bunch. I think you could do a lot more with Homer's half-brother. There's so much more you can do there. And obviously, Danny DeVito is still alive, so why not take the opportunity while you still
that
can?
Because
he is an old man. Yeah, why not take that opportunity while you can? Yeah, there's lots of good characters. Yeah, that's the first one that comes to my head. I think it would be interesting is Hank Scorpio. I think there's some cool stuff you could do with Frank Grimes too, for sure. The Beer Baron could be a fun guy to have come back. I wouldn't have him be the Beer Baron was Homer, actually. I'm talking about the detective in that episode.
Yeah, yeah.
He could be a fun... I forget his name. But he's a great character. I think there's more you could do with him. There's a detective who takes his job so seriously. There's a lot more you could do with him also. Yeah, there's lots of great characters. I think that's those are enough answers for sure. And our final question comes from Rebecca O'Neill, who asked, in honor of the Oscars, what's your best picture of 2023?
So I'm going to admit...
Mm.
Last year was a really bad year for me watching movies.
Oh, just seeing movies. Like, I thought you were going to say it was a bad year for movies. I was about to disagree with you. Yeah, yeah.
From what I've heard, but
you haven't
it
seen
was really
lot.
Bad for me. I work in a cinema.
Yeah.
Not for much longer.
Yeah.
So I will definitely probably love going to the cinema again when I don't work in one.
Yeah, you're saying you were avoiding going to cinema because
it
of working
like
at
work.
One?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
But I will go because of the family.
That's what I thought you were going to say. Yeah, yeah. It's a great movie.
Because I've actually watched that.
Yeah,
well,
and you love Scorsese, and it was fun to get lost in such a long movie, which, to be fair, I know people disagree, but I think it was exceptionally well-paced, considering that it was 3.5 hours
it
long.
It was all needed.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Great cast, Robert De Niro, Leonardo DiCaprio, and whose name I forget, unfortunately, Lily...
I can't remember.
Lily something. Lily Gladstone.
Yeah.
Fantastic in it. Wonderful film. I mean, I've already done my top 10 on Facebook. I think I've already spoken on the podcast too. My favorite movie of the year was Wonka. I will make no apologies for it. I think it's just a wonderful, sweet movie that's made me feel good. I've seen it 4 times now.
Wow.
It just made me feel good. The songs are spectacularly written. I think Timothée Chalamet and the rest of the ensemble in it is brilliant. I just love that world, the world of Willy Wonka. It just makes me happy. It just makes me nostalgic. And
that's
I love the Gene
enough.
Wilder one growing up. Yeah. I just thought they encapsulate on the magic and the spirit of that movie really well in Wonka. I think Paul King is also an exceptional director. Obviously, he also did the 2 Paddington movies. I think he really knows how to do a family film right while still making it fun for adults. You know, and yeah, Wonka just makes me happy. So it's that, and a close second, totally different movie, Saltburn.
Yeah,
I love Saltburn. That movie really...
I actually did watch this one.
Yeah, yeah. That movie really did divide people, but I love Saltburn. I think Barry Keoghan is one of my favorite actor of that generation.
He's incredible.
He's sensational.
And he would make an amazing Joker. I really think he would.
I really hope they...
I'm
sure he's going to be in the new Batman. It'd be ridiculous not to have him.
He's different enough as well to make it unique.
Yeah, yeah. And I heard him talking about like how in-depth he was getting into the research, even just to do that small little scene that he did in the Batman. He read so many comics, like all the like the really classic Joker comics and stuff. So like, even then he's like investing himself into that world. I know people think Joker's an overdone character and they've done him so many times, which I agree, but there's so many layers and different colours to his character that I think Barry Keoghan could definitely do something different and interesting. And I'm really looking forward to the sequel to the Walking Phoenix one coming out in October,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
yeah. Really looking forward to that. But yeah, he has my answer, Wonka and Saltburn. Kids of Fairmill. Yeah, good, great trio of films. Very, very different movies, those three movies. Yeah, it was just going to show how mixed and wonderful 2023 was for films this year, I think, for sure. But yeah, other than that, I think that kind of wraps it up, guys. Thank you for your patience after our very, very long break. We didn't mention what happened. Basically, I went to Ireland for a week and a half. It was just an unfortunate coincidence.
And I ended up going pretty much as soon
the
as...
The day... I know it was the day I came back, wasn't it? The day I came
weeks.
Back, Sebastian went to Prague. Yeah, so yeah, it was unfortunate. There's just literally no way to record, unfortunately, but I don't think we'll have a big break like that for a very long time, so we'll hopefully get back into more of a pattern of bringing out episodes quickly. Yeah, it was super fun to be back.
Yeah,
I'll shake hands in it. Guys, thank you as always for watching or listening. We will see you real soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.